Hi everyone, welcome to Reality Bites podcast. I am the one and only Lauren CPT, your host, and I'm joined by my two beautiful co-hosts,
Lucien Albertain,
your boy Marlon Patrick.
And today we are going to bite on something really hot. Stay tuned. Our guest that we have today is a South African lifesaver, fitness guru, presenter, and actor. And he's hot! Oh my God. Welcome, Mr. Raul Damone. Hello, Raul.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, and you, Raul?
Fantastic, thank you for having me.
It's a lovely seeing you in person. Like, I've always seen all the pictures of you and all that. But it's the first time I've seen a shirt, so by the way.
We're also here, right? We're also here. It's a one-way situation.
I thought I'd go formal for this prestigious occasion where I also get to find you. Meet two people. One of you I already know. Yeah. Fortunately, that's a debatable term.
Did you say fortunately? Did you say fortunately?
Debatable. But the two of you I've definitely seen online. I heard so many incredible things about you. Oh, and more importantly, for me, it's a principle that I feel your energy. So that's what I'm grateful for. And also your time.
And thank you for being here. So, Raul, I believe you are the fastest man on sand.
What?
Now, the thing that first comes to mind is like, Raul?
I got some blessings from, I think, both the parents and the grandparents. Look, my grandma is from like Cape Town, obviously in Athlone, and I think in one of those courts that you used to play around in every day when I used to go visit and half being looked after by them. I definitely got some of my talents and my skills there.
Half being looked after.
Yeah. You know, you get posted down between your aunt and your mom because the parents are hustling. So I was really grateful to have that, let's call it multifaceted exposure to life.
Love
you see, that's why you're in the shirt today.
I didn't even know you grew up in Cape Town, so that's very interesting.
Not predominantly. I was brought up in Heathfield with my parents, but obviously most of the time that I did have spending with cousins and family was Bridgetown, Cape Town, that side of life.
So please enlighten us about, like, tell us where you came from, etc., where you grew up, what schools you like went to. Tell us your life story.
Your life journey.
My life journey. Hey. Oh, we go way back.
Let's go.
Yeah, so no, H-Town, Heathfield, they call it like, some people say lower, some people say upper retreat. Mm-hmm. It's also debatable. But Heathfield is where I was like kind of born and raised, and genuinely was also half raised by both my mother and ma and aunts and everything else, which is, I think, a normal thing for people from our sort of culture. Takes a village, and it is something I'm absolutely grateful for. And I think later on we can talk about how that external influence impacted me later in life. But you're at the humble beginnings, you know what I mean? Like coming from a predominantly colored household, and then being one of the very few and first kids, I think, with this color skin to go to a Model C school. Oh. 1994. Sub A, you guys know what Sub A even is, but yeah, for us peeps over 30, I guess.
It's over 40, grade one. Over 40.
Oh, yeah, please.
Joking.
Come on, this is not over 40.
Yeah, definitely not. You're still a teenager.
Borderline, under 40.
But yeah, man, it was incredible for me to come from what I think was very humble beginnings, and I didn't have much. But everything I did have, I made the most of. And I think that's something I've been true to myself in being able to carry through with me in life. Yeah. And I think that's a big principle of mine, is making the most of whatever you have. And I think coming from that, I think everything else is just purely a blessing. And you go through life just being absolutely grateful. And you know, there's been a lot of crazy things that have happened. But I think my childhood was predominantly just being exposed to a lot of playing cricket in the road with the bin.
We all did, yeah.
A BMX, a skateboard, or borrowing a friend's because you maybe couldn't afford it or you weren't lucky enough to get it as a present for Christmas. And much of that rough and tough sort of upbringing, which again, I'm absolutely grateful for. When I look back on it now, I'm glad I didn't have an iPad in front of me. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't have these modern day distractions to disconnect me from the
real... We were street kids. Street kids. Yeah. We played barefoot in the street. And one thing, did you also grow up with the crate, the log, and then the shopping mall trolleys?
Oh, yes.
We grew up like that.
In retreat, I actually still see that to this day, and I smile to myself.
It's real occasions, but we grew up like that.
That, and there was like, this is a weird one, but in like some of the open fields, because there wasn't such a thing as a jungle gym back then.
Yeah.
So you'd have like a mattress folded in half.
Oh, yes.
It's
called Bomalakis.
Yeah, I call it Bomalakis, but yeah. I was maybe a bit more posh than you. I play. I'm not saying, listen, I've learned not to throw shade at this guy.
No, throw shade.
He is king of shade.
Always open.
Throw shade.
He'll never come for you.
As I'm gathering myself, you know.
I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm not stirring anything.
I do not accept it.
You see, I learned as a street kid as well. Not to mess with kids like this.
That's what he yells to.
You see, they were on another level out there.
I do not accept.
I think for me, let's say pre-primary school, there was a lot of that. A lot of the stuff I think a lot of us can resonate with. Being rough, getting knocked on the road in the pavements, losing teeth, falling off a seesaw if you did get to a jungle gym, playing all sorts of sports, ingle, angle, you name it. Yeah. And I think that is what was also the key to unlocking my physical ability, which is something I truly rooted myself in. And especially when I got to like primary school, like I said, I was one of the first kids to get into Model C school. And for me, that was wild because now you're like meeting people and kids of different, like, firstly for me, not color, because I didn't see color ever really, actually, to be honest with you. I just saw different types of like ways of being. And when I became friends with some of these kids in school, and you see how they speak to their parents and stuff, you're like, yo, like this is it. I will get Lucy. You know what I mean? So that was wild to me to be exposed at a young age to all these different cultures, which I think, firstly, weirdly enough, almost taught me to like just learn that there is this variety in the world and you need to respect that. But I think initially before coming into a space like this was also maybe my downfall because I wanted to please be and fit into everybody's circle. Yeah. Wherever you go, you want to be their crowd pleaser and be friends with everybody. I think we all kind of, when we're growing up, seek that approval or a way to fit in. Because I think through my upbringing, you don't really realize who you are when you have such a mixed influence.
Yeah.
All this like Model C school that I went to, Berkeley Primary School, Model C now, liquor, Jay. You made it. And now...
Bougero.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Bourgeois. Now it's like meeting these different cultures and stuff, but then also you get caught up in that. You get thrown into all these different circles and you're absorbing as you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's overwhelming you. You're learning a lot, but at the same time, who are you at the end of the day? And became a big journey for me for most of, I think, towards the end of primary school onwards and even through varsity. And that was like, that was crazy times, yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, to answer that question. Yeah.
What was a highlight for me of your bio is that you went to the University of Cape Town, correct?
Yeah.
And you have your Bachelor of Commerce, right? And just a BCom General degree.
Yeah. Why?
Yes.
Why did I torture myself like that, guys?
We are BCom people, so I just generalize.
Yeah, but look, you guys all, I mean, tertiary education is something that is a massive a massive undertaking, and I might need a drink there.
Thank you, kind sir.
Yeah, I'm a bit jaded.
And cheers, gentlemen, and everybody else.
Cheers,
thank you very much. Cheers, all there. So, very nice. So,
that was planned. No, I'm joking. That was not planned.
No, but genuinely, I think, sorry, to answer your question even before about the fastest man on sand, and I will get to that.
Yeah.
And I think just Just to repeat what you asked me again, sorry, like, what was it?
Your BCom.
Yeah, I think it's more than just a BCom. It was again tying into what I was saying earlier about pleasing other people. Now, I come from an upbringing where my dad is old school, hard as bricks. Mm-hmm. No real like connection there as a kid. Mm-hmm. My mother, on the other hand, was where the emotion came from, and she was the anxiety. She couldn't even watch me compete when I was doing lifesaving. But this was a woman that always constantly believed in me. Mm-hmm. She believed I was special, I was going to do something great. She would shout it in the kitchen while cooking, and I believed her. I genuinely believed her. I did not doubt it for a second.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a lot of what my parents would tell me, and I would want to make them proud, as we naturally would in our upbringing as well, is do what they say, and often that's go to school, do your homework, go get a degree. I didn't work this hard to get you through to this situation.
Yeah.
And I think from high school already, I genuinely hated school. I hate the concept of being graded on your intelligence and your genius based on a bloody test. Like the fact that you can memorize and regurgitate, then Lucian can tell you, I can't memorize word for word. I can do it in my own words.
Yeah.
I'm good at that. But now, does that make me dumb? Because I can't learn this textbook and
freedom is
exactly. So that was tough for me to actually go through, not realizing the frustration, and then still listening to my mother and my parents and taking their advice and pushing myself through something I actually hated.
Yeah.
And that was a degree. Started off as business science. I was going to be like one of the guys in possibly, I reckon, like a commerce, like a proper commerce side of things where we were going to go into tax or something like that. And it was because it was success. My mother said this was success. Everybody's telling you success. Get a degree, get a job, make money, you'll be successful.
But that's the old school mentality back in the day where
you have to get a degree.
I think school will get you somewhere.
Exactly.
I know people that's millionaires that didn't finish school.
Exactly. But that was the mentality back in the day. Because our parents didn't have those opportunities.
Yeah. Yes.
So they wanted you to have those opportunities. And that's why they enforced it upon us. Like, you have to get your degree.
And they did it. And it worked for them.
Yes.
That system worked well. Mm. I think nowadays, though, with this incredible world we live in, you all realize what you can do to sustain yourself, how much more pleasure in life you can get by, I call it your ikigai, finding that purpose, that reason for being. It's something I'll definitely touch on a little bit later.
Hi. Sign up right here. Joking.
But pleasing my parents all the way to torturing myself for 3-4 years. I remember failing one of the first MAM 1000s, just jawling and getting caught up in the scene trying to balance this torture. You know how it is.
Yeah.
And I think realizing thereafter, even studying that, thinking, okay, I'm successful now. Where's the holes that are going to be filled?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you need to get a job.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Get a job. I got a great job. I was making money. You guys making like great money. I worked my way in.
Work. Where did you work? You don't have to say the name, but what did you do?
So I worked with a below the line marketing agency that was handling like really like most of your beverages. At the time, and
there's a safe lap of it.
Yeah.
So
back then, it wasn't really social media. It was like, I think MySpace only at the time.
Yeah.
I just graduated.
And Mix It.
ASL. So I handled, I was an account manager for a job, and my job was to invite like famous people to parties. I threw an event on the Nautilus yacht at the Bay Hotel back at the day. Back then, and like, there wasn't really anything other than like these networking agencies and PR companies. And that was about it. So I would reach out to them, chat to these people, meet these famous people. I was like a plug. Yeah. My friends were like, yo, you're the coolest guy ever. Liquor, cool, buying clothes, looking the part. Famous people, I wear liquor, Jay. But like, guys, I wasn't happy. There was no holes being filled. Like,
there was no passion, there was no ambition, nothing.
I didn't realize that at the time, Lucian.
But that's good.
Yes, at the time, I was just like frustrated.
You didn't realize it.
I was like angry. I'm like, but look here, I have everything that you think is successful. I listened to my parents. I went and studied. I got the degree. I feel like I've gotten to this point and I've just wasted time.
But that's
why
good
am I so angry?
You had to go through that process. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's good because not a lot of people don't realize that afterwards.
But did you feel empty? Like that was the
100%. I thought all these things would fill holes. I thought buying clothing would fill holes. Buying a car will fill this hole. Getting more money. Now I just need twice as much. Cool. Get things, get a place, Nah, it didn't do anything. If anything, it made the holes bigger.
Yeah.
Now, how confused am I now in this moment thinking, oh, but my parents said I trusted my friends, everybody, society is telling me this. But yet, here's me, half depressed. I don't know what depression is at the time, but like dealing with this whole like emptiness, like what on earth? And crazy enough, at this very moment, and I'm still in a deep relationship, long-term relationship at the time, one thing that pulled me out of this was this passion I had for life-saving and moving. Okay, I was always a kid that would move. I loved sport and I loved running. Unfortunately, at Birkfield High School, they didn't have track, so I never got exposed to track running. One of the biggest, not my biggest regrets, because I will never regret anything, but I did other sports, got provincial colors in like hockey, rugby, etc. But like,
Eco Osta VB.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Guys, just a quick thing. Raul said now that he's moving. He likes to move. I can dance.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Raul,
I don't believe it.
You see, I'm getting him back.
No. You see,
we're gonna run. You do all the things. My can he dance?
We'll get to the dance thing later. We can talk about that. I'll tell you this. There's a reason why. Just
pencil
that one in. I'll explain to you what that's all about. But listen, like, as long story short, the thing that dragged me out of this hole was, like Lucian says, that I like moving, not dancing. Yes, moving, and moving in the form of sport. And it was the one thing that I was doing at the time that was drawing my focus, stimulating me, and giving me some sort of return on investment. But I needed to focus on it. I was trying to make like SAT and represent the country and do these crazy things at the time. And I realized that I needed to get serious about this thing. And apart from everything else going on and all these empty holes, this thing was one thing that was filling a hole and stimulating me. Yeah. And I was passionately going back and wanting to learn, be humbled, get beaten, conquer, you know, work on this thing, that constant like consistency and paying all that energy into something. And I think that thing for me was what pulled me out of it, because weirdly enough, at the time I was preparing for world champs. Okay, it's like leading up to 2014 in France. I'm trying to achieve something that no South African has ever done. I want to achieve double gold at world champs. Happens every 2 years. Okay, I realized that I want to get training and get serious. And in this moment of me working and doing all the stuff, I approached a friend of mine, Robbie Stemmett, shout out, that I went to school with, that had actually dropped out of his degree that he was studying to follow his passion, which was just welding and fabricating and creating. So I tuned Robbie. I'm like, I see this piece of equipment that I think I need to train for an event in Lifesaving. And it's only available online. And I look at the price of this, and you know, like the poor man in me is always like, nah, I can hustle this somewhere. Yeah. I know someone, you know, we make a plan. You tell her what you must.
At the color thing.
You know what I mean?
A special Julia?
Yeah. And I'm grateful for that. We find value in every moment. You know what it is? So I eventually get to this point where I approach Robbie and I say, listen, you're making these. He's starting off in the garage and he's building gates and welding and stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool, dude. Like, I see you welding. Can you build this piece of equipment? It's the same material, different shape. He's like, yeah, cool. Kiff, let's do it. Let's build it. He builds this thing. I train with this thing. It's freaking awesome. It's amazing. It's never been done in South Africa, really. It is overseas. And I see the value in this thing and how you can utilize it to improve your movements, to get faster, to get stronger. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I tell a buddy of mine this. He's like, bro, I've got a buddy that's got a gym. And he possibly want to buy one or two of these pieces of equipment. I'm like, cool, go pitch it to them. Owner's like, cool, I'll take four.
What?
Hey, now.
Everything sparked for you.
Hey, what just happened? My passion that I chased and made materialize into something is now something I can share with other people and sustain myself. Whoa, this is incredible. I didn't know at the time, but this was my ikigai.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Now I'm looking at work and I'm looking at this and I'm like, this feeling is what I want.
Yeah.
This.
That's the go.
Yeah. How do I get here? How do I? Yeah. And I couldn't know. I didn't know what to do and I just jumped. I jumped and I was like, I don't care. I'm just going to quit my job. Yeah. And I quit everything at the time. Maybe not everything that I should have. I quit the relationship even. Yeah. And I put everything.
Clean slate.
Clean slate. Yeah. I'm clean slate. Man, idiot. But you know, naive at the time. Yeah. And
now we're glad you did.
Jumped through this
threshold. Lawrence, you paid me to say that. Yes.
Jump through this threshold of fear that I think we all have a moment of where we are afraid to be ourselves, to realize our potential, to really jump into our moment. And you know what I'm talking about. We all get that point. That moment before you guys sat together and decided to have a podcast was that line, that what made you cross that threshold, there was a why. You needed to have that, right? And for me, it was obviously achieving a result and also getting out of this hole and this depression. And I quit everything and I was like, okay, I'm just going to push this. I moved back home to my parents. I put my tail between my legs.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult thing to do from our place where it's like, that's like failure now. Mm. You know, you're going home,
exactly.
back to your parents in your old room, and now you've got the rules again.
Yeah. Sure. And
okay. Mental, that is incentive.
No, I've been there. Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah.
Like, what do you even say? What do you even say to your parents? Like, would you make a decision like that? Like,
You know what I said? I didn't want to admit failure.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, I have a plan. I want you to maybe, can you help me do this instead?
Yeah.
And I kind of explained what was going on. And I think that honesty for me was a breaking point that I realized I should have been honest way more often with my parents.
Yeah.
I should have had a way more of a close relationship with them. Yeah. But we live and we learn. And I think that was a big turning point for me that unlocked this ability to realize that you can take something from here. You can make any idea materialize. Anything is possible.
Yeah.
And through fabricating gym equipment, I started a company. I realized this crazy potential of, wow, anything is literally possible. And look where we all are.
Exactly. Yeah. And that machine, basically, that you built led you to being the fastest man. Yeah. Understand? Tell us that story. I would love to know that.
Crazy. So, I mean, especially for an athlete in South Africa, it's not something that you get to sustain when it comes to sport.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's maybe like three sports, if even, I mean, in my heyday as well, where you could sustain yourself.
Yeah.
Soccer, cricket, rugby, that's pretty much it.
True.
Everything else, I'm telling you now, and shout out to every South African out there that has sacrificed and done the most to represent our country. But you go through a lot, eh? Guys, I go to France, Montpellier, 2014, and also this was a crazy turning point again because a high and a low came in this moment. Mm. But I was training, working with his equipment, and I, from running on sand, being timed on sand, and then eventually going to do two events in lifesaving. There's a plethora of events in lifesaving. You paddle, you swim, you sprint on the sand, which is one of my specialties. You know how handsome was? It's a straight sprint on the sand, on the beach, and then there's also something called beach flags. It's short, powerful, turn, quick decision-making, and it's elimination rounds. Imagine there's four of us and only three beers, and we've got to die for a beer.
Oh, I'll get it.
And every time one gets eliminated like musical chairs until there's one beer left and only one person can grab that thing.
Fire doors.
Wow.
You should have done flags. You would have been a great lifeguard, Lucian.
So, it sounds like more of an obstacle course that you have to go through, or is it just straight running the whole time?
It is a very, so the whole idea behind this event...
Birth.
Is not testing lifeguards' ability to think quick on your feet. You have a 20-meter course. There's about 100 guys or less, depending on the event, that come down at the end of the day. And you're lying away from the flag, face down on the beach, and the competitor and the judge goes, competitor's ready, heads down, and there's absolute silence. And you wait, and the whistle goes, and you just have to get up, run, and grab one of those flags before everyone else. And there's barging, there's... fighting, it's crazy.
I'm thinking
it's
about wild. That movie. Is it about what's the what's his name?
Games.
No man. The lifeguard thing, Zac Efron's movie where they did
Baywatch.
All that training and stuff like
pretty much like that because as a lifeguard, what you're doing at the end of the day is training to be able to save someone's life in almost any situation. You don't have a dead-on situation where every time I'm gonna save you like this, you get caught in the rocks, on a boat, submerged. It doesn't matter, you need to be competent. In all spheres.
No, but that part of the movie, like The Rock and Zach, Virat are busy. Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Tight training. That was a both.
Yeah, that's like movie training.
Like, to get into being a lifeguard, basically.
Pretty much. Like yeah. Okay. So this is beyond that.
And then,
I get this. I go to the event. I'm in France. Crazy things happen. I must up the courage. I win double gold. I win the sprints event against like 80 odd countries in the world and against 200 odd competitors. It whittled down to one, and I'm the guy that gets that flag.
Wow.
Amazing.
Pause moment.
Fastest man ever. History's made.
How was that feeling?
Unbelievable. I don't know how to honestly describe it. It's there's very few things that can relate to a moment like that is so many years of sacrifice, of injury, of money spent, of doubt, of going against the grain to prove not only everybody else, but more importantly yourself right.
Yeah.
That's hard. Not anyone wrong. Prove yourself right, because you all know what you believe in when it comes to yourself. But to God and prove yourself right, that's hard.
Yeah.
And to have a moment of validation, that is so empowering. It's so empowering. Yeah. It is what made me believe that I can do anything. And then that was the moment where I thought I was invincible. Weirdly enough, I was humbled very quickly after that, because I grabbed the scooter after being in France, celebrating, went to go tour all the way to Monaco, end up being, as I reached Monaco, boat show, fantastic, living there, la vida loca. I get hit by a car, injure my knee, torn ACL, MCL, not torn ACL, torn my MCL, but not all the way, and I had meniscus damage. Couldn't walk, hospital, there's your career done, basically, in your mind. And that was like the start of the journey for me. And that was a big moment for me. Mm-hmm. And I had achieved everything, and I had been presented this opportunity to walk away. Or do you try, come back, and take everything you've learned and try to do more, come back stronger?
So
I
just have one question about
the whole question.
So do you run bare feet when you do this?
Yeah, it does. But you know, now you see, this is where our childhood advantages come back. Now you must understand where our talents come from. You tell me now, any man. I've seen talent in our country, but our talent is above and beyond because of those things we were talking about earlier. From where we come from, we are made and built differently, and I really truly mean that. And you all know what I'm talking about.
Exactly,
100%. We were street. Kids.
Yeah, we were tested.
Now we are street.
All the streets.
All the streets. Okay. So Raul, you have your lifeguard career. Yeah. You still, that's still going. Mm. So then here comes the media world. What made you decide to go into media? Specifically presenter search.
I know, because that moment of unlocking, that moment of realizing, okay, I now am on this plug where I believe I can do anything I put my mind to. Bring on the challenges. The company was starting to go incredibly well. I started jumping in front of the camera to start selling this gym equipment and presenting this equipment, and realizing that when you're passionate about something and you're just natural about it, it's really simple. I'm enjoying this, actually. I can be me and really get my message across in a very pertinent and communicative way. This is really cool. Okay, presenter shirts comes through and I'm like, I've got an opportunity to do this thing. I was in Joburg at the time.
Yes.
Let's just pull through. Alyssa Connolly, I was visiting as a friend. We were still training. She was helping with some speed work. We were doing this training camp at
cousin of Leanne Williams.
Yeah, small world. I'm at a place with her parents and stuff as well. We're chowing down and I'm like, listen, you think you can maybe actually take me to presenter search? Like, because I've just come from this training with her. She's an Olympian, guys. She's incredible. Wow. Shout out to Alyssa.
Amazing.
And again, you know, when you're around and surround yourself with people like this that are like-minded, you really are like on another buzz. Your momentum's crazy. So I'm like, listen, we get on a conversation. I ask if she can drop me at presenter search. I'm literally one of the last people there. Yeah. Literally one of the last people there. And there starts this journey where I realize that without any media training, without having even watched TV, the skill set I learned as a youngster, the exercises I had been forcibly going through unintentionally, where I'm training and preparing for these moments where a race lasts a few seconds, that is pressure. Yeah. When you go to world champs and you spend all your money and money you don't have, and I bet on myself winning just to make my money back. Sure. That's this. That's putting pressure on yourself. When you deal with a moment like that, being in front of a camera on TV is actually not that bad. It's actually a lot easier, because you realize that all you need to do is use that same method that you used and apply it everywhere else in life. What do you do?
Your thought process while doing presenter search.
Yeah, because I realized.
For the judges.
I realized already in the moment, I can't boof this mentor. I can't lie to them and be like, hi, my name is Michael Mull and welcome to. That's taken a few years to get to that point, but now I can only be myself.
Yeah. Mm.
So let me just try this thing, because I can't compete with Cheapers, Creepers, Harmony, Catalundi, we've got Fez, we've got Tapiso. Yeah, we had so many incredible people in my presenter search. Yeah, I can't beat this. I've got to be something else. I've got to be different. I can only be me.
Yeah.
Luckily, that was something that I learned being in training, moving as an athlete, be present. That was something that I just tried to always be.
Well, we viewed you
be
a day, though.
Present.
I mean, the good looks help.
Exactly. And
look,
say,
we had to utilize some of
the... No, I was like, but you're ashy, you know.
Hey, to my day, Lucian still on me about his ashiness. Ashy knees, but thank you, I'm grateful.
I think that mindset brought you to a lot of things. Like, within the media world, etc. Like, for example, my favorite, your role in on Netflix, Blood and Water. Raak ek verstaan jy my mond, like, bad to die, bad ek sê die Here is my hartbekend, die Here is my hartbekend, maar die man, thank you, Lucian.
But the co-shared was crazy.
How was that experience on there? Like,
please. Oh my word, again, like, it just seems like life is like this, like, just jump, get thrown in the deep end. No acting experience, only being on Presenter Search, and prior to that, no experience again. What else can I do? Let's just be present.
Yeah.
So overwhelming, trying to juggle.
Victorious by inexperience, but in learning experience in the moment. A lot of people don't get opportunities like
that. Exactly. No, Lucian, 100%. Mm. You don't get these opportunities, Marlon. And I'm thinking to myself, what else can I do now? I'm not an actor. I can't pretend to be. Okay, let me just be present in this moment. And I realized the lines weren't as important as the blocking and the facing the camera and the beats and the counts. And I was like, wow. Presenter Search, being a presenter, helped me with that technical ability.
Yeah.
I had no acting ability, but I could be present. And luckily, I think the directors had great casting. It was a role that wasn't too far-fetched for some reasons, not all of them. But like Lucian says, when you get an opportunity, take it.
Take it.
Jump, grab it. Yep. And ride that wave. If anything like nature has taught me and something that fuels me is when you're on a
why
wave.
Does everything sound like about what I was saying? I'm singing.
It's your turn.
It's your turn. Ride the wave and don't stop. Make the most of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think and like listening to your like whole tale is like you can literally see that person come to life every time you see someone's picture. So sometimes when you look at someone's pictures, right, you can like literally pick up, okay, this person is trying or whatever, but in your pictures
he's always naked.
But besides the fact that he's naked, I'm just speaking about his face. You can see the happiness when you're in nature. That's you can true. See the happiness in your face when you're surfing, when you're running, whatever you're doing that's active. I can see, and I understand now why you say you like moving, you know what I mean? And that shines through, and that's what we pick up from my perspective. Because I'm the viewer, but I'm a groot fan of you. Y'all,
like in the DMs.
Okay, so by the way, Raul was Men's Health.
Yeah.
And I still, that was the first time I like put on my story. Don't know if you can remember because it's a Chrome tag.
On the cover
but
of
anyway,
Men's Health.
Yo, yes, Men's Health.
What a crazy cover.
Exactly, so that's one of the things. And then also, cover. You were on my desk at work. Like literally, everyone at work at High Tech. They know. It's like Raul Damoni. Do not. You know what I mean?
How lucky am I?
And also the fact that you like hiking and stuff like that. So that really is like, this is the guy. And see, you can see it through the work that you do. Like the normal post that you're doing.
Yeah.
You can see it. You love what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks volumes about you.
I like that you say that. And that's something I'm trying to bring across. I don't always feel like the mediums that I work on really bring that sentiment across. But you're making me a heart full. Knowing that you resonate with that because it's exactly what I'm trying to share beyond the way I look and the physical appearance. If you do look within and beyond that, and I'm hoping that at some point the clickbait, the hook, whatever brings you deeper and you see what I'm trying to show you is that I want you to move. I want to share. Happiness is best shared. It's such a cliche, but I want you to experience what I'm experiencing right now. The ability to be using a vessel you've been blessed with, right?
Yeah.
To unlock, to stimulate, and to just like feel so free in a moment. There's nothing more beautiful than that. And I want and I encourage everybody out there to go out into a mountain, go out into the ocean, take a dip. You don't have to do anything crazy, but just go disconnect and reconnect with nature and re-empower yourself. Yeah, man, get rooted again. It's something we deserve. We must enrich ourselves with, and it's something I have fueled myself with. It's the only way I can do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's the only way I can hustle and work on a show with Lucian with his crazy, incredible energy at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, right throughout, run a gym, be an athlete, share. I have to fill it up somehow. And we all have to find that thing that fills up our cup.
Definitely.
For me, I'm so grateful that I found a thing like nature that can do that for me. And in a place like this in Cape Town where we live, your people, your understatement. More than beauty. So I can't not be grateful. Knowing that, again, like that Men's Health cover for me, that was 2 weeks, 3 weeks after dislocating my shoulder at another life-saving event, not being able to now train to look the part and having to go through a very extreme diet, and again, learning the very intricacies of health and now what I personally do not believe to be health. And not to knock a great brand like Men's Health, but the people you see on the cover of a magazine like that, that's not healthy. They're dehydrated all the time. They are carb depleted. It's not realistic. Like, maybe I look a great way because I've been consistently living a certain lifestyle. But if you look at the message and what I'm trying to say here, is that I'm balancing not only the movement and that moment of play that I think us as adults sometimes forget to do and to find in our crazy, demanding life, but also to just find things that stimulate you within. Like feel within as well. So like from diet to hydration to anything else, I have to have balance. Relationships, friendships, you have to have that same sort of vigor, that same sort of like real presence and connection. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. You're not being you.
You really touch a thing now.
Actually, I have a question for you quickly, Rao. I know like you've had a flippin' awesome career thus far,
right?
but do you think, if you could mention one, do you think there's any career highlights in particular that just stands out for you at this point in time?
Your soul-to-soul moment. What stands out for you?
There's obviously various moments along the way, but I think everything that has happened since that moment of presenter search, when I think I was standing there, I know I was very close with Fez at the time, and we were really like deep in terms of the connection we had. It was beyond just the smoke and mirrors. I think there was a moment there where you are blessed with this opportunity. You know when that email comes through and it's a yes?
Yes.
When you get the green light that, okay, go ahead, or the money comes in the bank. That moment was being told I've won a role as a presenter on Presenter Search. That was, for me, a moment where I felt like the doors to infinite possibility have now really, truly opened. I'm standing there with my wand, and I'm ready to cast any spell I desire. That moment for me was what stood out the most, and everything that has happened, and is happening, this right here is like a prophecy from that point in time. Mm-hmm. You knew that you were going to meet me at some point in time. Mm-hmm. We knew we were going to have this chat.
Yeah.
There was no other way for this to materialize other than for it to be an idea. Yeah. And now it's gone to this point of materialization. So stop doubting any mad dream you have. Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop believing, because look where we all are right now.
Yeah.
And look where we can still go if we don't stop. Like, just destroy that ceiling. Get it out of your sight, I think, and grab onto moments like that. Those green light moments, and keep reminding yourself of why you're doing it. Yeah. And for me, even you just asking me to think back, and I go to that cavity, I'm like, again, I'm like empowered, and I'm like, don't forget you won, bro. Did I deal with you?
Yep.
Keep casting away. Don't forget that crazy kid and the mother that told you you are special, because you are. You all are. We all are. You are as well. We just got to be ourselves. We've got to be passionate and chase that icky guy. So yeah, that's a great question, actually.
I love that.
Just to that. Yeah.
Cheers to that. Sipping the truth and stirring perspective. Guys, on that note, that was a good end. Rao de Mornay,
yes.
Friend, colleague, Bessie, thank you for your time. Thank you for being here for Lawrence.
Oh, yes.
Before you do the final thing, I just want to say that I had this conversation here, like, at work today with one of my colleagues, and I was like, something drawn me towards this thing that Lucian Lim, like, there was a reason why Lucian Lim approached me or Marlon or whatever to be here to understand. I can only speak about myself, and to sit here and to listen to these stories about your story, about the people that I've heard before, it's so inspiring, it's so uplifting. So obviously I'm a huge fan of you, to understand. So now I see you in a whole different light. I got to know you a little bit better, and now you're not only someone I look up to, but you're one of my role models. So not only body wise, because that's like something else.
I won't be at the worst.
thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I'm inspired. I'm sure everybody else here is inspired.
If there's anything I took away from this, I'm using my wand tonight.
Let's go, baby.
What? My God, what? So, yeah, now, thank you so much. Thank you, really, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much. One last question. I don't know if I live here. I tried my best, you guys. Yeah,
guys.
Let's wait till the cameras are off.
Until next time, guys, please like, share, comment, and subscribe. This is Reality Bites Podcast, and we love you guys.
Remember,
you are enough. You are enough. Fill the room. Thanks, Rao. Yay.